He made the fish fast to bow and stern into the middle thwart. He was so big, it was like lashing a much bigger skiff alongside. He cut a piece of line and tied the fish's lower jaw against his bill so his mouth would not open, and they would sail as cleanly as possible. Then he stepped the mast, and with the stick that was his gaff, and with his boom rigged, the patched sail drew, the boat began to move, and half lying in the stern, he sailed southwest. He did not need a compass to tell him where southwest was. He only needed the feel of the trade wind and the drawing of the sail. I'd better put a small line out with a spoon on it and try and get something to eat and drink for the moisture. But he could not find a spoon, and his sardines were rotten. So he hooked a patch of yellow gulf weed with a gaff as they passed, and shook it so that the small shrimps that were in it fell onto the planking of the skiff. There were more than a dozen of them, and they jumped and kicked like sand fleas. The old man pinched their heads off with his thumb and forefinger and ate them, chewing up the shells and the tails. They were very tiny, but he knew they were nourishing, and they tasted good. The old man still had two drinks of water in the bottle, and he used half of one after he'd eaten the shrimps. The skiff was sailing well, considering the handicaps, and he steered with the tiller under his arm. He could see the fish, and he had only to look at his hands and feel his back against the stern to know that this had truly happened and was not a dream. At one time, when he was feeling so badly toward the end, he'd thought perhaps it was a dream. Then, when he'd seen the fish come out of the water and hang motionless in the sky before he fell, he was sure there was some great strangeness, and he could not believe it. Then he could not see well, although now he saw as well as ever. Now he knew there was the fish, and his hands and back were no dream. The hands cure quickly, he thought. I bled them clean, and the salt water will heal them. The dark water of the true gulf is the greatest healer that there is. All I must do is keep the head clear. The hands have done their work, and we sail well. With his mouth shut and his tail straight up and down, we sail like brothers. Then his head started to become a little unclear, and he thought, is he bringing me in, or am I bringing him in? If I were towing him behind, there would be no question. Nor if the fish were in the skiff, with all dignity gone, there would be no question either. But they were sailing together, lashed side by side. And the old man thought, let him bring me in, if it pleases him. I am only better than him through trickery, and he meant me no harm. They sailed well, and the old man soaked his hands in the salt water and tried to keep his head clear. There were high cumulus clouds and enough cirrus above them so that the old man knew the breeze would last all night. The old man looked at the fish constantly to make sure it was true. It was an hour before the first shark hit him. The shark was not an accident. He'd come up from deep down in the water as the dark cloud of blood had settled and dispersed in the mile deep sea. He'd come up so fast and absolutely without caution that he broke the surface of the blue water and was in the sun. Then he fell back into the sea and picked up the scent and started swimming on the course the skiff and the fish had taken. Sometimes he lost the scent, but he would pick it up again or have just a trace of it, and he swam fast and hard on the course. He was a very big mako shark, built to swim as fast as the fastest fish in the sea, and everything about him was beautiful, except his jaws. His back was as blue as a swordfish's, and his belly was silver, and his hide was smooth and handsome. He was billed as a swordfish, except for his huge jaws, which were tight shut now as he swam fast, just under the surface, with his high dorsal fin knifing through the water without wavering. Inside the closed double lip of his jaws, all of his eight rows of teeth were slanted inwards. They were not the ordinary pyramid-shaped teeth of most sharks. They were shaped like a man's fingers when they are crisped like claws. They were nearly as long as the fingers of the old man, and they had razor-sharp cutting edges on both sides. This was a fish built to feed on all the fishes in the sea that were so fast and strong and well-armed that they had no other enemy. Now he speeded up as he smelled the fresher scent, and his blue dorsal fin cut the water. When the old man saw him coming, he knew that this was a shark that had no fear at all and would do exactly what he wished. He prepared the harpoon and made the rope fast while he watched the shark come on. The rope was short, as it lacked what he'd cut away to lash the fish. The old man's head was clear and good now, and he was full of resolution, but he had little hope. It was too good to last, he thought. He took one look at the great fish as he watched the shark close in. It might as well have been a dream, he thought.